Life Audio.
Hey everyone, welcome back to How to Study the Bible. We are in week two of our Following Jesus 101 series, and I'm joined by my friend Rachel Chun.
Hey Al, good to be back.
Dean of Spiritual Formation. Could there be a larger title for...
There is not a more
pretentious title.
And I actually require...
For a young person.
When students use my title, I require them to use jazz hands because I feel like it just sort of necessitates.
Here she comes, the Dean of Spiritual Formation.
Or the Queen Dean, as some of them prefer, which that one I'm okay with.
Hey guys, we're here because the Bible has changed so many lives. So just take a second and think about if you didn't have access to a Bible or you weren't even allowed to have one. This is a reality that many around the world are facing, which is why I want to tell you about one of our partners, Crew. Crew has missionaries in almost every country and they are seeing people come to know Jesus. There's just one thing they're missing, a Bible in their own language, and that's where you come in. For only $24 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $24, Crew will also provide meals to 12 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive a free copy of my new book, Not What I Signed Up For. Simply text STUDY to 71326 to help today. That's STUDY, or visit give.crew.org/study. Again, that's give.cru.org/study. Message and data rates may apply and available to U.S. addresses only.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Talk to us about the title Spiritual Formation. Like, I know it sounds pretentious, but there's something behind it. Like, for you, what does it mean? Like, what do you feel like your role is when you think of spiritual formation?
It took me at least 3 years, I think, to kind of put some language around that, because it is such this sort of big, nebulous thing. But at least with the students I work with, who full range of faith from committed believers to total pagan, mm-hmm. everybody in the middle. Mm-hmm. And so I think a spiritual formation for them in this season in their life is we're moving the ball down the field.
Okay.
Of just inviting students into life with God mm-hmm. and deeper into life with Jesus wherever they're at and what that means. Mm. And so there's probably a more theologically robust way to think about that. But in terms of the lives of 20-year-olds, I think that's really kind of how it plays out.
Lives of 20 years, and once again, lives of all of us.
Fair points.
It's like everything we need to know. And like, we're like, Rachel, just be our Dean of Spiritual Formation also, because all of us are all trying to figure it out. And I find that in my life with God, there seems to be these moments of growth and then almost deconstruction. Not deconstruction in the sense of losing my faith, but I think I would like to invite us all to be more comfortable with the word deconstruction, because sometimes I just think, if you think of your soul like a garden, you know, God plants good things, but also weeds grow up and other things, and things have to be tended. And so I feel like there's seasons where there's a lot of growth. And then there's some like, wait a second, what does this really look like? What does justice really look like? What does the Beatitudes really look like in life? And then so you're sort of growing and sometimes pruning all the time back and forth. So maybe we're all being spiritually, we're all trying to move the ball down the field.
Sure. And also, lest we kind of overinflate my role, bear in mind, I spend most of my time teaching them how to change a tire and like calling Apple when their phone breaks. I'm really the campus spiritual mom. That's what I do most of the time.
Sometimes I feel like that's a lot. I mean, you know, there's a lot of spiritual formation to be had when you know, your tire blows out.
That's
on the side of the road.
We're going to find out in Matthew 5. That would be
yeah, exactly. All right. So we're in Matthew 5, guys. We did the Beatitudes last week. Like we talked about, we're going to probably say this every week. We're like, there's so much more here. But
really, though,
there really is. But we're spending 6 weeks. So we're going to get time and we'll circle back on things when we need to. But let's go ahead and move forward. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We did the Beatitudes last week, you guys. And by the way, if you are just wanting to stay connected and get kind of the highlight reel from each week,
make sure you can jump on my email list and we'll leave you the highlights there and make sure that you've got the way to subscribe to the podcast and all of that. You go to NicoleEunice.com/realtalk and that's in the show notes. It comes out every Wednesday. So we'll give you even some different resources because that's what Rachel and I talked about before we started this podcast. She was like, there's so much here. I was like, I know, Rach, but we only have 15 minutes per week. So we will give you some like other resources and things like that if you want to continue your learning in here. So that's a side note, but let's get into Matthew 5. We're going to do 13 through 16. And Rachel, why don't you read the passage for us? And then we'll do what we always do. And we'll ask ourselves, what does it say? And just observe kind of what we read and what we hear here. But I'm going to say a prayer for us first, if that's okay.
Please.
I love to always invite us. Sometimes we pray, sometimes out loud, sometimes in our hearts. But like, let's just take a deep breath before the Lord. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you give us minds to perceive and hearts to hear what you have for us. Would you open our ears to your word, open our eyes to see your heart in the middle of this passage? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Rach, take it away.
All right. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how could its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. The city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives lights to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Did you sing this little light of mine in church camp?
Absolutely.
Hide it under a bushel.
No, did you? But did you sing the Don't Let Satan It Out? Because that's like another level. There's a lot to it.
They're not wrong.
Guys, if you don't know the song, that was just a little camp song. YouTube, This Little Light of Mine. But there's a beautiful principle right in there. And for some of us, we may have sang This Little Light of Mine. We didn't know that it's referring to this passage. But let's talk a little bit about what stands out to us. What phrases or questions do we have going into this passage?
Well, when I'm looking it over, the first thing I think about is that salt and light are two pretty normal things and things that people like to have around. Mm-hmm. You want salt in your house, preferably the bougie kind, you know, the Himalayan,
yes, pink, the
right, and whatever. But and we'll take any, you know, any version of it. And you want to have light. And I just have a new appreciation for this verse. I was in, for the first time, Cape Hatteras in the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Last week. And that's called the Graveyard of the Atlantic. There are 1,000 shipwrecks off that little coast. Yeah, right. Well, and I went, truth be told, because I heard Blackbeard was there. I'm on pirate speech.
I got to find the
pirates. I'm there. And there's big old lighthouse there. And it literally is there to save lives.
Yeah.
Still. And it puts it in perspective when you're talking about, you know, pirate ships and shipwrecks and how dependent people are on lights in a way that I think modern people we take for granted because we can just turn a light switch on.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, of course, like right away, you should be like, okay, what do we want to know about salt? What do we know about salt now? What would the people who are listening to this for the first time know about salt? What do we know about light now? What would people, of course, we know that at this time when this was being, when Jesus was teaching this, there was no electricity. So again, like how important light is, how valuable light is, how much we need light, you know, all of those things come to mind. So I'm asking myself the question, yeah, like what do I want to know about salt? What do I want to know about light? Even just thinking through, you know, what we know about it today so that I can rightly understand like how powerful this passage is.
And even if you think back to your high school history class, right, the world economy kind of started with salt, right? Because people in Europe said, I would rather die and risk my life to travel across the world to get salt than continue to eat this normal food. So there's something about it that is really compelling.
Well, you know what I really like about salt too? Like I was thinking about this the other day. I was serving some food for dinner or whatever. Maybe it was actually at a restaurant. I was at a restaurant. It was a really good restaurant. And I was like, this is bland. Like this thing that's been, it was actually a curry and it was a homemade curry, which is very difficult. Like it's very labor intensive. It takes a lot to make a homemade curry. And this homemade curry, I'm like, this thing's supposed to be so good and it's not that great. And all it needed was a little bit of salt. So the minute you put a tiny bit of salt on it, every other flavor is amplified. And I think that's really interesting about salt is a little bit of it changes everything around it and makes everything better. Like not, but a lot of bit of it.
It's
not so good.
It's crazy. And even if you think about light in the similar sense, the point of a light is to illuminate the things around it.
Yeah.
You're not actually looking at the light bulb.
Right.
You're using it to see, enhance the experience of wherever
you are.
So I wonder if
that's maybe kind of what Jesus is starting to get at.
Oh my goodness. So he's saying, I mean, you are, like, he's talking to these people. Let's go back. Remember at the beginning of the chapter, it says the crowds who followed him. He taught those who followed him, which is always also really interesting to me, is like, hey, this isn't what he's thrown out to the crowds who were looking for a miracle. This is what he's throwing out to the ones who were willing to walk with him and sit down with him while he was teaching. So there's some level of like commitment, right? And he then gives them these beatitudes. And then we get into him now giving some identity statements, right? He doesn't say like, you will be. He's like, hey, if you're in this kingdom, this is what you are. You are salt. You are light, right?
Yeah. And I think that's so much built upon, one, the spirit of who Jesus is, but also the beatitudes and saying that you're going to keep coming back to this. It's the beatitudes are for the spiritual underdogs in so many ways. And yet he's saying, yet in me, you, this is who you are. And the Christian life is learning how to grow into who Jesus has already made us to be, which is so cool.
Yeah. So it says in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others. It's pretty plain, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's interesting. Like, what do you think about now? We're kind of turning to action, right? So we've gotten this, the beginning of the Beatitudes maybe is about attitude and a perspective, a way. It's comforting, right? In some ways. And now we're getting to action. How do we put that together? Because obviously people are like, is it about our work? Is it not about our work? What is it about?
Right. Yeah, that is such a good question. And I know, and as I've kind of studied the Sermon on the Mount, even just reading through it, but also some of my church history nerdiness, it's amazing Christians' ability to sort of ninja backflip their way out of the Sermon on the Mount. And how much of church history people have been like, he didn't really mean it.
Yeah.
And surely he's exaggerating. Yeah, surely we're not actually supposed to do this stuff.
Hey guys, we're here because the Bible has changed so many lives. So just take a second and think about if you didn't have access to a Bible or you weren't even allowed to have one. This is a reality that many around the world are facing, which is why I want to tell you about one of our partners, Crew. Crew has missionaries in almost every country, and they are seeing people come to know Jesus. There's just one thing they're missing, a Bible in their own language, and that's where you come in. For only $24 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $24, Crew will also provide meals to 12 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive a free copy of my new book, Not What I Signed Up For. Simply text STUDY to 71326 to help today. That's STUDY, or visit give.crew.org/study. Again, that's give.cru.org/study. Message and data rates may apply and available to U.S. addresses only.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
When I think, in fact, if we just, I think the beauty of coming at Sermon on the Mount and just reading the texts, Jesus is not unclear.
It's not unclear.
We just don't want to do it. And so it starts with grace, with the people who are blessed, with the virtues that aren't celebrated.
Yeah.
With the life circumstances that aren't celebrated by the world. Those are the ones who are blessed already by God.
And circling back on your, I loved your definition of blessed. Like, you're on the right, you're in the right orientation toward the kingdom of God when you're in this place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's where we start. We're going to keep coming back to that place. And yet Jesus expects us to obey him and to grow in that. All right. He helps us do it. So it's never that we were able to really, really level up and get at this. Yeah. You know, that's never the spirit of it. And yet Jesus really does expect to be taken seriously in these commands. And I think it would be in our best interest to really try to get inside what he actually, how he actually defines the good life,
yeah,
flourishing life, which is really what's happening.
Because the full blessing is not going to come like that. What I love about this part right here, when you put these two pieces together, what we talked about last week and what we're talking about now. Last week, we're talking about like, oh, like if you're, when you're humble, when you're sad, when you're mourning, when you're desperate, you're right. Like, Jesus wants to meet you there, but he's not going to leave you there. Like, it's not.
Nope.
And when you're like shining your light and doing good deeds and out there doing the thing, and if you think you can do just that without actually a heart toward God, you're not in the right place either. It's like he combines both of them. You're not allowed to stay. You're supposed to get desperate and not stay despondent, not stay in despair. Like, it's like, no, you will be comforted. Like, you are pure in heart. You will see God. And then, by the way, when you see God, now you're going to be useful in the kingdom of God. You're not just going to be identified with the kingdom of God. You're going to be useful.
And I think it's not an accident that, right, Jesus does this kind of identity assessment and the blessings of, yeah, of your kingdom membership. But then the very next thing that he pivots to is how the world experiences us. Mm-hmm. So I think kind of the rest of Matthew chapter 5 is, I think, about kingdom ethics, the way we're supposed to be. And this section is what Christians are like on the outside, how they are experiencing the world around us.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting, because I think what Jesus is getting at is ultimately all the stuff we're going to talk about, all the heart stuff, all of the ways of living that lead to flourishing. They're not actually about me, but about you. It's for us to be less of a headache to our neighbor.
Yeah.
It's so the world is blessed by what God does in us. And man, if Christians really kind of lived with that mentality, I bet our culture would feel a little bit different.
Mm. I do a lot of work, leadership work. And one of the things that is just a known axiom in leadership, not Christian leadership, just good leadership. Good leaders have self-awareness and good leaders have relational awareness. They understand who they are and who they are in a room, like how they are perceived. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what this is about. It's like, Jesus, like, do you understand who you are at your core? Like, how deeply you need me, how, what it means to actually be a person who, right, like we talked about last week, who's discouraged, who has a bad attitude, who's like, like yearning for real justice and real mercy in the world and like finding God there. But also, do you have situational awareness? Do you know your relational awareness? Do you know how you are in a room? Because the way people are going to know who I am is how you are in a room. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so convicting.
Oh man. Well, and again, coming back to this, right, salt and light in just regular life are things people want to have around.
Yeah.
They make the environment better.
Yeah.
By being present.
Oh my gosh,
isn't that true?
But I mean, it's just when we jump to application, what an interesting question, right? To sort of a daily self-examine. Did I make the room better today? Did I make the room I went into better? Because a lot of times also, I think another thing that Christians do is we immediately jump out. And this is like a real deceptive ninja move too. Let's jump out of our real life. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the news. Let's talk about like the world. Let's talk about the problems in our community. Let's not talk about you and me in this room and how, if we're caring for each other well, like, let's not talk about my family. Let's not talk about my attitude. Let's talk about things that I can't really control more than things that I can control. Like, mm-hmm, the actual way, like, did I make a room better today? Like, mm-hmm, and that is challenging.
Well, and something that I noticed really just, it's amazing how much stuff I miss. I've read about a lot of time and I
it's still, not how much you miss. It's because the Bible's alive and active. There. Well, that's the thing, is like, this is what keeps me in the Bible for the rest of my life, is it is literally alive. You can read the same thing. I'm sure even right now we're talking about things that we didn't even plan that we would talk about, yeah, from this three little verses.
And since we're going on this sort of existential tangent, what's so cool is that if
that's called a rabbit trail, not an existential.
That's you.
Okay, indeed. Okay,
yeah. But what's so cool about this is, if you've never read this before, you can read the Sermon on the Mount and get the gist of what Jesus is saying.
Yeah,
right. You can be tracking what he's saying.
Yeah,
and we've read this maybe a few times.
Yeah,
and there's always new stuff in there.
There's always new stuff,
which is so cool. But also, so the thing that I noticed, you are the light of the world, in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Uh-huh.
And so at this point, Jesus is actually just kicking off his ministry, starting with a bang. And we just get this little hint of that, yes, this is who God's already made you, who you're growing into, your identity that God has always bestowed on you. But how that's going to happen is the fact that Jesus is actually the light of the world.
Uh-huh.
And it's through him that we are able to reflect what he's done and what he's doing.
That's an important rabbit trail, and one that we'll explore a little bit more, because again, the challenge, the beauty of Matthew chapter 5, you could read it for the first time, get a lot out of it. You could read it for the 100th time, go to a different layer. But the beauty and the challenge of it is it's calling us to do something that we cannot do without Jesus. And it I would never want you to listen to this, guys, and think, oh, okay, like, I'm just going to get out there and be better. Like, I'm just going to be good today.
Won't work. Spoiler.
Not going to work. It's not going to work. But it's still what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. We're still called to, like, that others would see our good deeds. But it's not because we're going to grind it out and sort of white knuckle our way into good deeds. It's because something's going to happen in our heart. Like, there's going to be an actual change of heart, right? To go back to like blessing and to go to what repentance really looks like is a change of heart. Something's going to happen in us as we keep on staying close to Jesus.
What has kind of struck me in this kind of last pass through the Sermon on the Mount is I'm starting to actually be convinced that this is the kind of life and the kind of person that I want to be.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, oh, no, that's probably better.
Yeah.
I can see.
Especially as we get into next chapter and the chapter after, and you start talking about like the way you live and the way you act and the way you practice.
And so the motive is not, gosh, I got to level up or I'm going to fall off the wagon. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the heart. It's man, look at all that could be. Look at what God has made the world to be and I could be a part of. That is so much better than the stuff that I've been doing.
Oh, man.
And I want to figure out how to opt into that.
So good.
Because it just looks like a better option.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's such a great, like, okay, so we ask, what does it mean for me? I mean, I think that's a great application is like, oh, this could mean I just am interested in opting into more of this. I mean, I think that could be a prayer, you know, each day is like, Lord, help me be aware of what it looks like to be a citizen in your kingdom. That for me is like, that feels like a, in some ways, an abstract concept, but I really do believe that if you pray in the Spirit, Lord, help me be aware of how to be a citizen in your kingdom. He will comfort you. He will correct you. Like the Spirit will convict you. You will be present with the Lord in your day to day. So for me, like that's what I'm taking away is that simple action.
And maybe I think maybe if that's the first half of the prayer in my mind, and the second half is, all right, God, in this room with people that I'm here to by, am I reflecting a light that's making the room better?
Yeah.
And I'm only going to do that because you're going to help me.
Yeah.
And you've cast a vision for all that life can be.
You know what? You got a bad attitude. Just leave the room.
Take a deep breath. Shake it off.
And then come back in the room. Be like, okay, wait, I need to. I mean, that's really like, it's truly convicting and also clear of like, oh, I should care a lot about the way I come into a room. Whatever that room is, a meeting room, your living room, you know, like wherever you find yourself, your classroom. Like, okay, let me take a deep breath and say, oh no, like the way I shine my light today matters. And I didn't come in right. I'm going to come in again. So. All right, you guys, good luck in those rooms this week. We'll talk with you next week.
How to Study the Bible with Nicole Eunice is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you like what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review the podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Often we believe our questions mean we don't have faith, but I believe Jesus loves our questions. Our questions are windows into heaven. I'm Caden Fabrizio, and on the Questions with Caden podcast, we ask and answer one question per episode as relevantly and biblically as possible. Questions about fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and so much more. Don't worry, your questions, they're not going to scare Jesus. So ask away. Listen and subscribe now at lifeaudio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.